Great to have you with us tonight. I'm Joe Donlan.
And I'm Rob Nelson.
And I'm Marnie Hughes. We start tonight with the coronavirus, and the latest numbers from Johns Hopkins University have cases in the U.S. now up to 7.2 million, a rise from 40,000 yesterday. Deaths have reached 206,000, and today I spoke with Dr. Deborah Birx, a global health expert and a member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. We talked about the virus, a vaccine, and if the White House is putting pressure on the CDC to change its guidelines for kids returning to school. Dr. Birx, I want to start with talking about schools and our kids. Parents and teachers obviously have a lot of trepidation about in-person learning and what is the right thing to do. At this point in the pandemic, is it safe for our kids to be returning to school?
Well, schools, no matter where they are a reflection on what's happening in the community, because the virus doesn't pipe in from somewhere. It comes in from the community. And we've learned that in nursing homes, we've learned that from prisons, and we'll learn that in schools. So what we can do right now to ensure that children can be in schools is to stop community spread. And as Americans, we know how to do that. If we wear a mask like I'm doing, because I have been on the road for the last 3 or 4 months around America to 29 states, we know how to stop the spread of this virus. If we wear a mask, if we physically distance while maintaining our social engagement with each other, and if we stop parties in the neighborhoods and our family and bringing people together, asymptomatic spread is real. We have to protect one another going into the fall, and we have to ensure we get cases down in these communities.
So you're okay that kids are going back?
Again, it matters what's happening in the community, and I think that's why it was clear that local school districts should make that decision based on their local data. It's why we write a governor's report to every single governor and health team every single Monday that reflects county by county, community by community, what's happening in that state, and then what needs to be done to stop community spread. Because again, schools are a reflection of the community. Everybody in the community needs to work together to stop the spread.
Dr. Birx, the New York Times is reporting that the White House and members of the Coronavirus Task Force pressured the CDC to relax guidelines for schools to reopen. Is that true?
I think you saw, and probably many people saw, the one email I wrote to Dr. Redfield, who we go back for decades, wrote him an email that said, because I'm the coordinator and supposed to be recording this response, I said, here is the data coming out of SAMHSA about mental health of children, and here's the data coming out of the National Institutes of Mental Health at the NIH. Please have your team review that data and see if it can be incorporated into the introduction. Not changing science, not changing their dialogue, not changing guidance. I think that's how we should all work together. We should look at each other's information and ensure that we're incorporating all of the best ideas when we write guidance. No one has pressured, at least that I know of, from the task force or from my personal dealings with the CDC. We have disagreed sometimes on the scientific evidence, and that's a healthy disagreement. But you can see that asking someone to look at other people's data related to the mental health of children as well as the academic health of children was an important dialogue at that time. And the CDC decided whether to incorporate it or not. No one, I did not personally, nor did anyone that I know of, pressure the CDC to change their guidelines.
What about kids playing sports? What are your recommendations when it comes to return to play?
Well, this is why I've been in the communities since the end of June, really going community by community, because you have to understand the circumstances of every single community and their leadership and their local community leadership to really understand that question. And I think right now in many of our universities where I've started the trips over the last several weeks was really understanding what precaution have the athletic teams taken. And when you look at the precautions that they've taken, when you look at also the precautions they've taken at the stadium level to really ensure physical distancing, both in the arena, in the stadium, but also critically concessions and bathrooms and really that attention to detail of what it takes. When I look at what university staff have done, and frankly what the K-12 staff that have done, these facility managers, we talk a lot about the teachers, but there have been facility managers and staff rearranging these classrooms and working every day at the universities to really ensure that they're taking the best CDC guidance and applying it in the classroom and in the sports programs to really not only protect the students, but also protect the coaches and staff.
We do know that the push for a COVID-19 vaccine is on. What do you say to people who are worried and say they are concerned about the safety of a vaccine and they won't get it once it's available?
You know, it's just like with the testing, and they should go back and look at how America, private sector, and the federal government have worked together to provide quality, highly sensitive and specific tests. They should look at the therapeutics and say, we brought forward safe therapeutics with efficacy that improves people's lives in the hospital. The vaccines will be no different. And I just want to really remind every American and thank the Americans. We're getting close to probably 70 to 100,000 Americans that have volunteered for these vaccine trials to help other Americans. That's what we do in America. We come together as a community. And so no vaccine will go forward to the American public that hasn't been shown to be safe and efficacious in the same way that we've developed quality tests and ensured that remdesivir and steroids are available, and hopefully we'll have improved data on the plasma that are ongoing, those plasma studies. And so we've seen efficacy across the board in many of the early studies and really pushing hard. I know we're impatient. I'm personally impatient. I would like to have more options every day, and I know all of us are impatient to have a safe and effective vaccine, but I can promise you that these pharmaceutical companies will not take their data to the FDA without the independent data safety monitoring board, that independent group that has nothing to do with the federal government, looking at the data and saying that they believe there's safety and efficacy and that the product should move forward.
Will kids get the same vaccine as adults?
Well, that's a great question. So, you know, we have three vaccines in active phase three trials, two of them that are messenger RNA, one of them that is vectored, and then several other candidates moving into trial that are what we call subunit vaccines. And so really matching the type of vaccine and the type of immunogenicity it develops with the with the age cohort may be critical, because we don't have all of the immunogenicity and efficacy data yet. And so that all of that will go into the decision making of who should receive which vaccine.
Within the last week, we had some very troubling numbers. 200,000 deaths in the U.S. We crossed the 1 million mark globally. How long until we get to a point where we are no longer, as a nation and a world, afraid of this virus?
Well, two things. Part of it is us ensuring every day that we have that we're doing our part, that we're wearing our masks, that we're physically distancing, that we're not having parties in our family room with the neighbors or our extended family. Really ensuring that we're doing everything we can now as the bridge to the vaccine. But the way forward in every pandemic that we have faced is to have a safe and effective vaccine and have it available to the globe. And I know there are people working on that now. We have great institutions like Gavi working to really secure doses for the global community at the same time that we're working every day to ensure we have a safe and effective vaccine for Americans.
My final question, Dr. Birx, you spent a lot of time on the road talking to people about the pandemic, cautioning all of us not to become complacent. What would you say is the biggest misconception about the virus, and are we doing enough right now?
I think the biggest misconception that the American people have right now is they can tell who's infected. And that's because we normally think of flu and other diseases as having symptoms. In this case, we have an incredible spectrum of disease, from really no evidence of disease to very serious disease and death. And I know that makes it harder, but by looking at a person, you cannot tell if they're infected or not. Johnny down the street could be infected, and you brought them into your household. You could be infected. So if anyone has done those things that I've talked about, been in a crowded space, taken off their mask, done those things, because we're not perfect human beings, please go and get a test. We can stop the spread of this virus by those who are asymptomatic becoming knowledgeable and ensuring that they're protecting the vulnerable in their household.
All right, Dr. Birx, I know you're very busy. We appreciate you talking to News Nation, and be well. And one additional note, kids in New York City, we know, return to class in person this week. It is the country's largest public school system. And so I also asked the doctor about returning to school in that city where we have seen so many cases. And she actually cautioned against, over the next few weeks, if we do see cases in New York City, she cautioned that they will likely not be from kids returning to school. But she said there are two areas, the Bronx and King County, where they're already noticing a community spread of COVID, and she said we will attribute it to that and not the return to school. So it was a cautionary tale. We don't know a lot about this virus, but she and other experts at that level are studying it every day, and they do have confidence that if we do all the right things, we will get to a point where we will see some normalcy.
I don't want to say we're getting comfortable with it, but I think a lot of folks are sort of letting our guards down a little bit. But you could notice the urgency in her voice, I think, that I hadn't really heard in a little while because they haven't had the task force meetings recently. But did you catch that and notice that?
Yeah, well, she discourages any large gatherings. She said that.
Even with masks?
Even with masks, she said you need to be with your immediate family. Outside of that, you really have to consider the risk. But she also said, although we're not seeing the task force briefings, they are briefing every single Monday. The governor and the state health officials right. In each state about some of the guidelines.
And that important point she made at the end about being asymptomatic, that no, you can't really tell who has it, so to be careful and to protect yourself because you can't tell who may have it, and that's why that's one of the tricky things getting this thing under control.
So absolutely.
That was important.
Yep, biggest misconception.